He's away because his birthday is this week, so he's gone away with Joy to have a nice celebration and a bit of time off. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but a monumentous event has been happening throughout our culture over the last few weeks, and that is Avengers Endgame has come out. Sim heard that. Now, as a small child, I liked comic book movies. Surprise. And one thing that would always happen, you'd have a Superman movie and you'd have a Batman movie or something like that. And then as a child, I was like, why can't they be in the same movie? Why can't they fight together? Why can't they fight bad guys together? That would be amazing. And then they never did until 2008 came along, and then Marvel decided that they were going to make their comic book heroes and make their own movies so they could have a shared universe. And then Iron Man came out as the first movie. And then at the end of Iron Man, something amazing happened. After the credits, there was a scene where Nick Fury comes on. He's another comic book character. And he hints that he wants to get other superheroes together. And then the Incredible Hulk came out. And at the end of the Incredible Hulk, there's another hint where Iron Man comes after the credits to hint about them getting together. Then Iron Man 2 happens, and there are further hints that they're going to get together. Then Thor happens with hints. Captain America happens with even more hints. Then finally, in 2012, the Avengers happened, and they all got together and fought evil as one, and it was monumentous. But then it kept going. It hinted at more happening, and then Iron Man 3 happened, followed by Thor 2, Thor the Dark World. I'll put them like that so you can keep up. Then Captain America 2, the Winter Soldier. Then the Guardians of the Galaxy. So they're not on Earth, they're in the galaxy guarding things. Then they all got together again for Avengers 2. Age of Ultron. But something weird happened. At the end of Avengers, it was hinting this bad guy named Thanos, who's big and purple and scary and stuff. But he didn't show up in Avengers 2. So we're all like, what's going on? What's going on with Thanos? So even more is going to happen. And then Ant-Man comes on the scene, followed by Captain America 3 Civil War, where the heroes actually fight each other for a change, because why not? Then Doctor Strange comes. I'm running out. Then Guardians of the Galaxy 2, followed by Spider-Man Homecoming, followed by Thor 3 Ragnarok, where Thor and the Hulk fight people in a far-off galaxy, followed by the Black Panther, and then last year, Avengers Infinity War came out, where they fought Thanos. And then, I can see you, Mary. Enjoy this. This is fun. They finally fought Thanos, but then it ended on a massive cliffhanger, one that had everyone shocked and on the edge of our seats. And then Ant-Man and Ant-Man 2 came out, which didn't give us an idea of the cliffhanger, just kind of hinted at more going on. And then Captain Marvel came out this year, which hinted even further about what's going to happen. Then finally, Avengers Endgame came out the day before Anzac Day to see the culmination of 11 years and 22 movies worth of storytelling. And I won't spoil any of it for you because I know you're all waiting with bated breath to find out. But then something strange happened. So I went and saw it opening night and I really enjoyed it and it was exciting. But I'm not allowed to talk about it because people don't want spoilers. And there was articles coming online over and over again talking about what had happened, but not talking too much because they don't want to spoil things. But now the people who have seen it are like, That was fantastic. But now what? And now it's only been a couple of weeks and all of the articles have shifted from what wasn't that amazing to what are they going to do next? So it didn't last very long. But we have also had another monumentous event. We've had Easter, which is kind of the culmination of the Bible. So the Old Testament is all pushing forward since Genesis to find out what happened, what are we going to do about the problem of death and sin? And God continued to send saviors to the world to help them, to show them more of him. And he sent more and more than 22, and it was more than 11 years. And it was all pointing to this one event, and that was when the Messiah came. And he finally came, this wonderful Messiah, but he was killed. But when he was killed, he actually defeated sin. And then he came back to life. Instead of staying dead like every other person in history had, he came back to life. Death went in reverse and he rose again in power with a restored body. Now, this was very, very exciting. But now that he has done that, what are the disciples going to do next? And we live in a world where Jesus has already won this victory. So what is left for us to do? What do we do now? Well, as we begin to look at the book of Acts, we will find out what the disciples are set to do. And I need you to know a couple things about Acts. The first is that this is actually the second part of a two-part book. Luke wrote the book of Luke for a guy called Theophilus. And now he has written the book of Acts as the sequel. Now, it is likely that Theophilus was a Christian with a bit of money who would have been able to pay Luke to write the book. Because back in the day, writing materials were really expensive, and the process of writing took a long time, and it was time-consuming, so it would cost probably in the thousands of dollars to produce something like the size of the book of Acts. So Theophilus is kind of acting as a patron for Luke to fund the writing of this book. And other than his name, we don't really know much else about him. So in Luke's first book, it ended with Jesus being taken up into heaven. So as far as Luke is concerned, Jesus' earthly ministry is over. But then we come to the first book of the book of Acts, and it says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to both do and teach." So notice, he says, all that Jesus began to do and teach. So for Luke, as Jesus has finished his earthly ministry, it is actually only the beginning of what Jesus is going to do and teach. So how is it that Jesus' earthly ministry and teaching were only the beginning of what he was doing? Well, the answer is the Holy Spirit. Luke says that after his ascension, he continued to command them using his Holy Spirit. After Jesus' resurrection, he appeared before them for 40 days and talked about the kingdom of God. And then he tells them to stay in Jerusalem and wait until they are baptized with the Holy Spirit, as it was prophesied by Jesus at his baptism. They then ask him whether now is the time that they're going to restore the kingdom of Israel. And then he tells them what is going to happen. And in this statement, he tells us what is going to happen throughout the book of Acts. Jesus says, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." With that, Jesus is taken up into the air and disappears behind a cloud. And suddenly there are two men standing there with white robes who weren't there before, and they say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven?" Which I thought it would be fairly obvious why they're standing and looking into heaven. But they say, "This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. And then the disciples returned to Jerusalem. So the way that this happened is significant, as it alludes to a famous Old Testament passage that prophesies about a character called the Son of Man, which, if you've read the Gospels recently, you would know that instead of referring to himself as Messiah or the Son of God, Jesus would often refer to himself as the Son of Man. So this comes from Daniel 7, where Daniel is prophesying about, he's talking about these great and terrible beasts, that God comes and stops and destroys the head beast and then destroys the dominion of the other beast. So after God has killed the head beast and removed all the others, Daniel says this: I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and he was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. So as Jesus is heading up into the clouds, it would bring to mind this prophecy about the Son of Man, who is going to have dominion and rule a kingdom of all people, and his kingdom shall never end or be destroyed. This is what Jesus is continuing to do. He's going to rule his kingdom, and he's going to enact that rule on earth through the Holy Spirit, which the disciples are waiting for. Now, I think it's very easy for me to distance myself from the works of Jesus because he was on earth 2,000 years ago. And I kind of I serve Jesus today. But it's hard to think that what I'm doing is actually what Jesus is doing. When I serve Jesus, I am continuing his work and continuing his mission. We're not picking up some separate mission or idea and running with it in a way that's more innovative or better, but everything we do for God is the work that Jesus continues to do. It just takes a different form through the Holy Spirit's teaching and working. So now it is time for me to ask you guys a question. I want you to get into groups with those around you, and I want you to tell a story about how you have seen the work that Jesus is continuing to do. Now, this could be something that's happened to you, or it could be a story about someone you know. It could be a story from a biography you've read. If you're stuck, I will even accept you to tell a story from the Bible, after the ascension, of course. But have a think and just share with each other something that you have seen that Jesus is continuing to do. You don't have to share if you don't want to, but if you could break up into groups, I'll give you about 5 minutes, so make it a quick story, and then I'll give you the opportunity, maybe some, to share their stories. Okay. Testing. There we go. Okay. I'll call your discussions to a close there. Please. Marianna's got a good story. Oh, does anyone have a story they would like to share? I had a really nice time talking to Dawn and Rohan, and we didn't have great, powerful movements of wind and earth. We just had these tiny moments of God showing us his kingdom and showing the work that he was doing. So it doesn't have to be a big, crazy story. But does anyone have anything they'd like to share?
Well, I do have a big, crazy story. I was listening to a podcast last week, and they were talking about Miracles Conference in America, and there was a guy, some of you might have heard this story, a doctor in WA, who had a heart attack and died, and he was totally dead for 45 minutes. And his wife, they called his wife, and she was on her way there, and as soon as she got there, she prayed over him, and the monitor just started beeping again. And it was crazy because he was actually a doctor, and he had all these ECG results and all the medical jargon, and it was a really amazing story. I don't know if anyone's heard it because it was in Australia. He was over in WA and he's in a remote part doing his doctor rounds and around Kalgoorlie somewhere. And he said he started having chest pains. He pulled into a local clinic and he's like, I'm having chest pains. And the local doctor was out to lunch. So they called him back and he had to hook up the ECG himself and do his own ECG. And he's like, I'm definitely having a heart attack. And the local doctor came back and they're like, oh, let's do another one, because obviously if you're not with it, let's do another one. And then he flatlined. So they were doing CPR for 40 minutes until his wife arrived and she prayed over him and started beeping. Then they flew him to Perth and he was in ICU for 3 or 4 days, and they're like, oh, this is really bad. He's going to be completely brain dead. Probably the worst case scenario. That's what all the doctors were thinking. And he woke up and was like, oh, what's happened? Can I see my ECG? Totally normal. So it was amazing. And at this particular conference, they had a skeptic there, and they were like trying to pick it apart. And he's like, nah, there's just no way. And they had all these other occurrences, but nothing for that long. He had all the stats because he was a doctor. It was an amazing story because he had every single answer. So that was pretty cool. There's something I heard last week, yeah.
Great. Does anyone want to follow that? Paul. Hey.
Thanks, Paul. I just thought of a crazy story also. I was only sharing with my son the other week in school holidays. We went around through Kernlight Gardens, and back when I was 16, I was got into motorbikes, and I had a road trail bike, and I used to ride it to college. And one morning, I slept in and was running late for college, and I was speeding on the way through to try and get to college on time at TAFE when it was at Panorama. And I was going a bit too fast and went round a corner, and I had a head-on collision with a Toyota Tarago van. And I was doing about 80, 60, 70, 80 kilometres an hour. And I just think it's a miracle because I was telling my son, I literally woke up while they were lifting me into the back of the ambulance. And, you know, I thought with that sort of an accident, I should have been killed. And I just think it's wonderful how the Lord works in mysterious ways. So thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Does anyone else have a story? No? You do. I'll share yep. Yeah, I know. That's what I want us to see.
Phil Emery, he should have been dead several times. I remember him telling us about the storms in Papua New Guinea. When the lightning strikes, you run. Don't go anywhere near trees, you run as fast as you can home. And he told us that as he got to his front door, there was a bolt of lightning, and it smashed straight into the lintel of the door, at the top of the door. I mean, it knocked out lots of his communication stuff and all that, but he was saved. Absolutely. And it was darting around him, it was almost demonic feeling. And then, of course, he went over, was taking people to a missionary family. He was shifting them, very wet, up in the mountains. Fiona had got out to open the gate and she said, look, I'll walk the last little bit. And as he sat there, the vehicle with the trailer was sliding sideways. He counted the number of rollovers. He said it was 10. And when he woke up, there he was, and all he could see, he was rushing water, and he was jammed between two boulders. C- course, the people thought he was dead. His one convert thought he was really dead. They manhandled him up the side of the mountain, airlifted him to hospital, and his one convert to trust Jesus ran all the way into the town, you know, and he broke his back. But what they thought they should, because the only place they could put him for safety was on the slab. And his convert came and said, "Oh, Phil, you're dead." He said, "Yes, but not dead, dead." And that was just miraculous.
On the smaller side of things, this week I was working on an essay on Ecclesiastes in Hebrew, so everything was feeling rather meaningless for me, or vanity, and chasing after the wind. And I received an encouraging text message from Dawn, who just wanted to wish me a happy anniversary. So we were in a study room, everyone threading over what meaninglessness meant and things like that. And then Dawn sends me a lovely encouraging message that made me laugh, which was really good to see God working in little things as well as big things. Well, I think those stories are great. And as we journey together as a church, I look forward to more stories of how Jesus working to happen as we take part in the work that Jesus is continuing to do. Now, if we head back to the book of Acts, the disciples have been told to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And then they will continue the work of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. So they go to Jerusalem and they prepare. They prepare by praying and by organizing. Now, it says they returned to Jerusalem and they were all of one accord and devoted themselves to prayer. Their preparations focused on being united with each other and united with God. And they started other preparations by deciding to choose another apostle to replace Judas. Now, there's no coincidence that when God set up Israel, there were 12 tribes. And now, when Jesus sets up his new kingdom, he starts with 12 apostles. So Peter thinks that they should have a new apostle. And he quotes a psalm which calls for someone to take his place. Now, based on the reading that Marilyn did before, you may have noticed what it was saying about Judas is a little bit unusual. We usually know that he hanged himself, as Matthew says. And here it says he fell headlong into a field and his body burst open and his guts fell out. Now, there's no definitive answer as to why those two accounts are different, but some people have made some good suggestions that I think are quite plausible. And that is that while he was hanging in the field, after his body may have been hanging for a while, because it would have been a fairly shameful act, they probably wouldn't have wanted to touch him. It was after that that his body would have fallen into the field and burst open. Also, the Greek here could be translated as swells up rather than falls. So maybe he was dead and then it happened. But the point that Luke is making is that it's about how Judas has been judged. He's shamed for his crime, and it is likely that this gruesome fate of his dead body is what he's trying to highlight by adding the details of the story that everyone already kind of knows. So anyway, because this terrible thing has happened to Judas, they are going to try and fulfill the psalm and look for a replacement disciple. They have to be someone who has been with them since Jesus has been baptized, so that they can be a witness to the resurrection with the other disciples. Now, their goal is to be witnesses to the resurrection. They find two men who suit the description, and they pray and cast lots to see who it is. The lots fall upon Matthias, and he becomes an apostle. Now, casting lots to see God's will is something that has happened before. It happens in Jonah in the middle of the storm. The sailors cast lots to see who caused the commotion. And someone told me once that They only cast lots before the Holy Spirit comes, which is interesting. It's true, and they are waiting for the Spirit, which will command them. So they are not quite ready for their mission. Now, my New Testament lecturer has an interesting theory on this. He thinks that they cast lots and get the wrong man. So he thinks that the person who should be the 12th apostle is the Apostle Paul. And so later in the book of Acts, God is correcting their mistake by using their own kind of wisdom to try and work out who it is. Now, it's a fun idea. My New Testament lecturer is a really good guy. But there's no real proof for this. But it does highlight for us that what we can try to do to prepare for something, we can put trust in our own abilities and not in God's. Now, I don't know who should be the next apostle, so I will roll the dice, and the person with the highest roll will be who God has chosen. This may have been how they did it. And maybe if they'd waited for an answer, they would have chosen Paul from the beginning. But in the end, the exciting thing is that God ended up choosing Paul himself. So he is the one who is who has things under control. And our job is to devote ourselves to prayer and be united and prepare in whatever way we can to go on mission and continue Jesus' work. So as our church, we are going to go on this journey with the disciples, and I want us to refocus our place in our community and continue the work that Jesus began to do while he was here on earth. So as we head into May, I want us to walk with the disciples in their journey, in their early mission. So we are going to match our efforts up with them, at least on the calendar. So from May 30, we are going to have 11 days of prayer as we head into Pentecost Sunday. Now, as the weeks continue, I will tell you what that will look like, but we will try and do what the disciples did. To do this, we're going to get into formation groups and also have an evangelism study to help prepare us for this mission. Now, generally, I don't like evangelism studies because they're usually cheesy and you finish not really as confident as they think you should be. And when you face opposition, you don't always have the best tools to know what to do. But this course is quite different, and that's why I like it. It's about understanding the culture that we're in and understanding how people's worldviews have shifted from what they were and how we can speak into that. It's about how we can understand that Jesus fulfills people's needs rather than trying to tell them what their needs are and then fulfilling them. So it's quite an interesting study, and it is a video series, so it's pretty easy. And the guy who does it is actually a very dynamic and clever speaker. So I have actually learned a lot from him, so I'm hesitant to let you see it just in case you know where I get my tricks from. But I think that is a mistake. That is a risk I'm willing to make for the furtherment of the kingdom. So this will be a great way that us as a community can grow together and grow to be more like Jesus as we continue to do his work. Now, I've had lots of conversations with lots of you about getting into groups, but if you haven't had that conversation with me, please come up and I will put your availability on a master list and we'll all get into groups. And if you like, you can suggest to me what kind of a name you want for our groups. People say things like, oh, they should be cell groups or focus groups or ACT groups or study groups or home groups. I have not yet worked out a trendy name. If you have a trendy name suggestion, you can come to me also. And there won't be a competition, but we'll see what we can do. So this is a very exciting chapter in our church where we can get together and continue to do the work of Jesus. So this morning we have learned that while Jesus' earthly ministry has finished, it was only the beginning of what he is doing. He is now seated with his Father, ruling his powerful kingdom that will never end. And we get to be part of his continuing work. We heard this morning already he has been doing things with people in this church. So as we prepare to journey with the disciples, We're going to devote ourselves to prayer and to seek to grow in unity with each other. And next week, we'll be looking at Pentecost, where Jesus sends the Holy Spirit, and what happens then. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus' work did not finish here on earth, but he's continuing to reconcile the world back to himself. Thank you, Father, that we can be a part of it. And as our church moves to journey with the disciples in this, you'll help us to grow together in unity and devote ourselves to you in prayer so we can be all of one accord. And Lord, for those moments when we want to do things our way or use our power to do things, I pray, Lord, that you will help us to trust in you and let your Spirit guide us. I pray these things in Jesus' name, for your glory. Amen.